The talk station, AM 1500 KSTP. If you listen closely, you may notice that Mishki takes great license with some of the details surrounding the news of the day. Listen at your own amusement. Thank you.
Of the golden age of American radio, it's the Mishki Broadcast, radio's renegade outpost, transmitting live from the talk station, AM 1500, KSTP.
Gentlemen, Mishki live from the shack, the shanty by the track, Teddy Kaczynski's cabin from Montana's out back. Got it from the feds, they took it from Ted. Thanks, boys, is what I said. I like my little tree house. I'm in the green cathedral known as Midway Stadium, looking out on a beautiful Midwestern evening. As the Saints play a little baseball with red hats on. What promotion could that possibly be? They have red hats on. Is it Fireman Night? Why do they have red hats on? Red Light District Night? Red Commie Night? Anyway, they're out there. I don't know what that's doing to their game, but they have bright red caps. Bright red caps, and it's a bright, sunny evening here. It's glorious. God, when have we had a Friday night like this since June started? I've been to about five or six of these games, and they've all been misty and rainy, and tonight it looks like God himself descended and ordered this weather so that baseball could be played in a glorious setting and all could be happy. And all are happy here. This is like the afterlife here. Everybody's happy. No one is ever sad at a Saints game. Even when the Saints lose, no one's unhappy. There's never any despair here, no despondency. Just joy. Just joy. I suppose after a while joy would get boring. We need pain to understand joy, and there is no pain here. So periodically we have to leave the confines of Midway and find pain, so that we can enjoy being here all the more. Until then, enjoy, ladies and gentlemen, a Friday night Mishki broadcast buried inside the right center field wall. I don't really feel like doing a show. I feel like watching a game. That's one of the problems. One of the problems of being here is sometimes you just want to watch a ball game. Just want to watch a center fielder run across that grass endlessly and dive for some frozen rope that he misses as it becomes a triple, and the crowd stands up and people spill beer on the person in front of them. I've seen that happen more than a few times at ball games where you get a little excited and your beer spills and you just soak the guy ahead of you. Yeah. There's a term for what happens after that. It's very similar to road rage. It's a sort of a stadium rage. And there can be violence, fisticuffs, that sort of thing. But that just adds to the excitement. And that often is where you get the pain. And then when you sit down and watch the game, you can appreciate it all the more. So I'm sitting here watching a ball game, and I'm supposed to be doing a news program. What are you people up to, huh? Sitting on your porch, supposed to be building a deck? Laying around on a hammock when you're supposed to be working in the garage? I hope whatever you're doing tonight is not what you're supposed to be doing, because this is a good night for doing anything but what you're supposed to be doing. I had something funny happen tonight. I was down over at Olson's Randolph Station. And Scotty, the mechanic there, was showing me his beautiful ride. Oh, just this glorious, glorious vehicle of his that he takes racing. Built it himself. Just a, what was it, 69? I can't even remember what the heck it was. 69, not a Camaro. Oh, I can't remember. Anyway, it was black and had all this beautiful painting on the sides. And it's called Deja Vu. Said that on the side of it. No relation to the strip joint, I don't think. Although he told me the guys from the strip joint offered him money for the car. Anyway, I'm there, and it's just a roadster. He's got all, you know, his nitrous oxide things in there, and he's got all these little buttons that create all these little, I don't know, special effects. I don't understand cars. But when he leaves, I'm still hanging out at the station. When he leaves, well, he just lights it up. He puts the pedal to the floor and squeals and screams and shouts and blows that thing right out of the neighborhood. I left about 5 minutes after, and passed him, pulled over. He got about a half a block before the cops got him. I'm not kidding, a half a block at the most. Oh, it was fun waving to him when I drove by. You always wonder why those guys never get pulled over. I remember in high school, as the guys would peel out after the school day, I'd go, how come these guys never get nailed? Because if I did that one time, squealed the tires and went roaring down the street, I'd get caught. Because I always get caught. I always get caught. And these guys who do this stuff daily can just go on and never get caught. And he made it a half a block before he had to take a ticket. I don't know what he got a ticket for, but he wasn't looking too happy sitting in his souped-up ride. I was laughing all the way home. Why do we laugh at other people's misfortune? There's that pain thing again. You see their pain, and all of a sudden your day seems a whole lot better. Back to the show, then. Already in progress. Adventurer Tori Murden cast off from Nags Head, North Carolina this week in a customized 23-foot rowboat in a bid to become the first woman to row solo across the North Atlantic. Murden, 35, a Louisville social worker, rowed out of Oregon Inlet into the Atlantic south of Nags Head on a calm, sunny day to begin the summer-long 3,635-mile journey toward the west coast of France and the record books. Asked why she would venture to cross the ocean alone, Murden said, "It's right out at the edge of my ability, and that's where I want to be intellectually. That's where I want to be physically. That's where I want to be work-wise. I know I can do this. I'm taking this rowboat to France." According to the London-based Ocean Rowing Society, 6 men have rowed solo across the Atlantic. The latest tried an ocean crossing by a woman, France's Peggy Boucher, tried rowing a while back, but decided that she wasn't up for it. She's going to try later in the summer, and she expects to get across after Tori Murden. Everybody's rowing across the ocean. Has to be all the more embarrassing now to know that the old Titanic was unable to cross the Atlantic, huh? This woman's just jumping in a rowboat, social worker jumping in a rowboat and going to France. How'd you like to go back in time and let the crew know of the Titanic that by the end of the century, people were jumping in rowboats, making it no problem? Well, what's your guy's story you could be telling them as that big old ship was sinking? In 1998, women will be rowing across the Atlantic, you morons. What the heck's your story? Jeez. Some lady here grabbing an oar, scooting across with little worry. Just take a little break from being a social worker. You guys spend hundreds of thousands of British pounds and can't make it one time across. Idiots. You idiots. That's what I would have said to the crew of the Titanic as it sank. Hey, idiots. I would have been looking around for the cabin master or the captain or first mate or something. Hey, where are the idiots? Hey, you. Hey, don't hide from me. Hey, you idiot. Couldn't make it one time, huh? One time. I know guys who can canoe across the ocean, you morons. One day someone's going to up and swim the damn thing. You watch, someone's going to just swim it. But you couldn't make one lousy trip. One lousy trip across the Atlantic. I don't think people spend enough time talking about what idiots the people who were on the Titanic were. Huh? What a bunch of buffoons. Were I sinking with that crew, I would have looked around and said, waste of money, la 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 la, total waste of money, total waste of money. Hey, Captain. Hey, Captain. Yeah, I know you're the captain, you, but, hey, does this look ridiculous or what? How much money is being wasted as this ship of yours disappears into the sea? You gotta feel like a numbskull, you idiot. That's what I would have said to the captain of the Titanic. Hey, you idiot! Yeah. I'll tell you, hey, Captain. Hey, I'm still talking to you. Yeah, I'd quit bitching if I were on a lifeboat floating away from here, but because I'm a guy and an adult, I'm on board for the duration of this disaster and thus plan to let my feelings be heard until my lungs have fully filled with salt water. Do you limeys know what a horrendous waste of time building this ship was? Captain, I'm still talking to you. Are the workers who built this SOB going to feel swindled or what? Why'd they even bother welding the damn thing together? Captain! Captain! What kind of a moron can't get a boat this big to America when women are rowing across this body of water in dinghies, for God's sakes? Hello! Crew members! Hey, Master Seaman. Yeah, you. Hey, way to go on the navigating, lunkhead! Look at this ridiculous sight. 1,500 of us just sitting around waiting to visit the floor of the ocean. That's great. Sure glad I booked passage on this wreck. Should have just paid a girl to row me across. A social worker, perhaps. What a pain in the ass. Hey, Captain, am I starting to bug you yet? Don't walk away from me. I'm going to just follow you. You thinking of putting me on one of those life rafts yet? Because then I'd be too far away to give you the morose play-by-play. Bunch of folks who were supposed to go to the States instead make an unscheduled detour to the ocean floor to become fish food. What a pleasant little outing, Captain. Thank you. Meanwhile, social workers are rowing across the Atlantic. Rowing. Yeah. Hey, there the lady is now. Here comes a social worker now, Captain, faring much better than we are. Hey there, lady, nice dinghy. How do you keep it afloat? We can't seem to pull that off over here. What's your secret? Let me guess. When you see an iceberg, you steer around it. How frickin' novel. Yeah. I'll mention that philosophy to our captain. Hey, Captain. Yeah, no, our captain has a different approach, a different view on those sorts of things. He likes to ram them full speed to see how big of a hole he can tear in the hull and still make it to port. Not this big, apparently. We're going down. Yeah, ain't going much anywhere tonight but good old Squidville. Man, I always wanted to see one of those suckers. They say they're hard to find in their natural habitat. You wouldn't have room for another guy in there by any chance, would you, lady? I like rowing. I really do. I could help. Yeah, now more than ever I like rowing, as a matter of fact. I did like rowboats a few days ago. I love them now! Love them! The captain here should have tried rowing, huh? Hey, Captain, you ever think of rowing? Anything but assuming he could run a ship. You know, I told him he should have been a street vendor or run a car wash or something like that, because his skills as a shipmaster make me feel I could be a brain surgeon, huh? If this is the work of a skilled sailor, I should have driven across the ocean. How much worse off could I be if I just drove right into the water? I could have experimented with a frickin' catapult and been no worse off, or tried walking on water, that old deal. Captain, I guess we know now you can't walk on water, huh? You can't steer across it, navigate through it, or float on it very well either. But boy, can you get to the bottom in a hurry, old boy? When you want to, can you get to the floor of the ocean in a hurry? Thanks for bringing us all along on your little experimental voyage here. Turns out you can't ram icebergs and stay afloat. Yeah, that was a costly little test. What should we test next? How about how long we can hold our breath? Idiot! Now, are you going to put me in one of those lifeboats yet? Or do I keep bitching? Captain, get back here. I'm not letting you go yet. Captain! Captain! Lady is rowing across the Atlantic. No worries. Just sandwiches. She'll be fine. She'll be fine. They had a big 7-course meal on the Titanic. The cooks could cook. It's just that the captain couldn't captain. Oh, and the guys who made the beautiful, ornate furniture and the beautiful fireplace and the built-in beautiful woodwork. Boy, were they good. It's just that the guys who took it sailing didn't know what the hell they were doing. So, but this woman's going to cross the ocean. Okie dokie. Well, I want to call this guy. This is a letter to the editor this week in the St. Paul paper. Very short letter to the editor. In fact, I'll go so far as to say I'll never read a shorter letter to the editor than this one. Here is the letter from Luke J. Soler of St. Paul. A person is more at risk trying to walk across White Bear Avenue than from a nuclear bomb coming from India or Pakistan. I said a person is more at risk trying to walk across White Bear Avenue than from a nuclear bomb coming from India or Pakistan. I think Luke had a tough walk across White Bear Avenue recently. My guess is it might have gotten a little hairy one day not too long ago for Luke as he tried to get from one curve to the other on White Bear Avenue. Methinks that's what might have happened to Luke. Maybe he forgot the rule of looking right, then left, then right again. Maybe someone drove by and bounced a Miller beer can off his head. I don't know, but you can bet your mortgage and life insurance that old Luke had a rough crossing not too long ago over there at White Bear Avenue. Maybe a delivery truck almost drilled him. A speeding motorist had to weave around him, sending him spinning like a top, rolling to the other side. They must have stop-and-go lights over there, but something went wrong for Luke. Something, in fact, went so wrong that it took him away from his day-to-day fears of total global thermonuclear war and into more pedestrian musings of how to get over to Louis' grocery store in one piece. You know, we ought to see if we can find Luke and determine just what might have happened while he was crossing White Bear Avenue recently. Shadow Man, you're not back at Mission Control yet, are you? No, that's okay. Don't stop whatever you're doing. I knew Shadow Man was away from his post because I gave him a top-secret assignment. And since I can't see him on the other side of the thermopane glass, I don't know if he's returned or not. I'm at the shack, the Shadow Man, off the muddy ditches of 61, back in the brick house that is the old KSTPAM station. Ah, you scared the flaming hell out of me!
Were you calling me?
Ah, just your breath scared the hell out of me there. I want to call Luke J. Soler, and I got his number. How am I going to feed that number to you, though?
I'll turn you down for a second here.
All right.
Say it, and I'll shut you off at the critical point.
All right, critical point, 738-089. Luke tried to cross White Bear Avenue because he no longer fears bombs. Oh, you didn't get it?
Yeah, say it one more time.
738-08.
Okay.
All right. Let's see if Lukey Lukey's around. Oh, the Lukey 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 as he sings a little song. Dee 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 dee. Never asking for reward, he just talks about the Lord. What do we got here? Oh, Lukey Luke. Lukey Luke.
Hello.
Hi, Luke.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you? Mishki calling from AM 1500 KSTP Radio.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I read your letter to the editor this week, and I wondered if we could talk to you on the air about it. It was an interesting letter about, you know, how just crossing the street sometimes more dangerous.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, appreciate that. Just curious, did you have a bit of a harrowing experience recently crossing White Bear Avenue?
I don't want to say recently.
Years ago?
No.
Oh.
Oftentimes.
Oh, often?
Yeah.
And what happens exactly?
Well, you know, theoretically, you know, I live on Margaret Street.
Margaret.
Okay. There's a stop-and-go sign at, red light or green light at Minnehaha.
Uh-huh.
And then there's one at 3rd Street. you know.
Right.
Okay. If you happen to get to the corner at Margaret and it's a red light, the chances are not real great of somebody coming down White Bear Avenue unless they make a right-hand turn.
Uh-huh.
But if when the light changes, and I can walk pretty fast, so I can get across.
Sure.
But if I were to let up at all,
yeah,
I'd be creamed right in the middle of the block.
You'd be killed. No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, they almost seem to speed up.
To hit you. Yeah.
Yeah.
As though they get a perverse joy out of ending
and
your life.
I had the horn tooted at me more than once.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I did have one experience, and the policemen for quite a while were kind of monitoring 3rd and White Bear.
Yeah, for drug activity?
No, for traffic.
Oh.
And I was surprised how quick they nailed people.
Uh-huh. For hitting pedestrians primarily?
Well, no, anything. Mostly going through the light when it's changing.
Uh-huh.
But I was crossing the street, going to St. Pascal's to Mass in the morning. This was about 25 after 7, 7:25 or so. And the light changes green for me.
It's green for you. All right, let me get an image of that.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
I don't push the button for the walk thing. I just go on the green.
You go on the green.
Yeah. And there's this guy with one of these big, fairly new, what do you call those things again?
Sport utility vehicles.
Comes up there, you know, and blows the horn. And I kept walking and kind of slowed down a little bit and looked at him. And, you know, he wanted me to either run or get out of the way.
How old are you, Luke?
75.
75 and they're honking at you. Boy,
yeah.
It sure is civil.
I'm not trying to brag. But, you know, I'm not limping or anything like that.
No, you're not limping, no.
No. I'm walking straight ahead.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. If I had to run out of the way, I couldn't make it.
Uh-huh.
You know. But I would say that I'm really shocked for all the, and they're all going 35 to 45.
Yeah.
I'm really shocked that nobody has been, I'm thinking of the schools there, because it's a public and a Catholic school right together there.
You know, and I'll tell you what shocks me is all this attention on Pakistan and India at a time when we got the White Bear Avenue fiasco.
I mean, I don't worry about a country like Pakistan and India. First place, they're halfway around the world. They couldn't do anything about it anyway, you know, to us, to speak of.
Of course, a bomb could probably get to you faster from there than I could get to White Bear and 3rd right now.
Well, that might be, but the chance of that is so infinitesimal in comparison to when you're...
What do you figure the odds are of getting killed on White Bear Avenue?
I'm surprised there aren't any. You know, there are very few that I've ever heard.
I would bet it's 50-50. 50-50, or what are you...
If you walk out in the street, you're going to get clipped.
You're going to get hit. You're going to get hit.
Yeah. I did see one accident there.
Yeah.
Once.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen a couple.
Yeah, of course, you're not there every day.
No.
Yeah, there are probably accidents happening when you're not there.
Oh, yeah.
That's usually when they happen.
But this was not a pedestrian.
No. No. Well, I'll tell you, was that the extent of your letter, or did they...
No. I wrote another one about 2 weeks before, just two lines. I put in there that a little bit in the same vein. At least the students at White Bear Lake who were counterfeiting the money were not smoking. You know, I'm sick and tired of the smoking bit.
Yeah, boy, you got the one line letters down. You like those kind of letters primarily? Your one sentence letters?
Yeah, I think so. Or a couple of sentences.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to change somebody to be anti-abortion.
Right.
No matter what I write.
Right.
But if I put a couple of one-liners in there, people will read it.
Right.
And,
so,
and they might at least think a little deeper into it.
Sure they do.
Yeah,
sure
I've had several favorable comments on it.
So almost all the time when you write a letter to the editor, it's just a one- or two-line deal.
No, I've written longer ones.
Oh.
And I've had some get in, some not.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But I don't write on...
What's your favorite line of all time?
I think the last one I've had... 20 people tell me about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there it is. And then the exclamation point at the end seals it.
Yeah. And I think most people realize that. I mean, the Pakistan and India, you know, they're not the enemy of our country. I don't know just exactly what...
You know who the enemy of our country is? Those damn SUVs. Sport utility vehicles.
Yeah, they're a tough deal.
Because I'll tell you something, when you're getting hit by the grill work of a sport utility vehicle, I mean, how much worse can Pakistan and India do to you? I mean, either it hurts like hell and you got a good chance of dying. What's the difference between that and a foxhole?
They're not interested in the United, attacking the United States. You know, it's too big. We're too powerful.
Yeah.
I think. Continue.
All right, Luke.
But anyway.
Well, appreciate it.
Okay.
Good talking to you. Are you retired?
Yes. Yeah.
What'd you do all your life?
Well, first half, more or less, but I was in the service in the Navy, and then overseas, and then came back and worked at the Ford plant. In the purchasing for 30 years, and then I went, and after I retired, after 30 years, I got out of there.
Yeah.
And then I went and sold real estate for 20 years. I kind of enjoyed that. It was a completely different method or job.
Is it true what they say about the old Ford assembly line? Those guys used to put away quite a bit of the old hooch at lunchtime?
Well, I never noticed it.
Yeah, I see.
You know, I've been out there since 76.
Yeah. But you probably heard the stories.
Well, not that much.
Oh. How you never wanted to buy a car that was made in the afternoon?
Well, that I've heard, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But they did, it's good pay and good benefits.
Well, yeah.
You earn your money, though.
You earn your money, yeah.
Well, since I'm not complaining.
No complaints. Yeah. Thank you, Luke.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
Good luck to you. Take care.
All right,
bye-bye now. That's Luke Soler of St. Paul, who wrote a letter to the editor saying, a person's more at risk trying to walk across White Bear Avenue than from a nuclear bomb coming from India or Pakistan! Boom. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen. Mishki here at AM 1500 KSTP. They're the jeweler you can depend on. The jewelry's all right here. Ladies and gentlemen, R.F. Moeller Jeweler would like to announce that they had a couple of Czar diamonds take some hits from hail. And if you don't mind having a little hail-damaged jewelry, I realize when you're giving a diamond engagement ring to your loved one, it is often embarrassing to have to admit that you cut a deal on account of the hail damage and all, but the point is, you can get a nicer diamond if you're willing to, you know, settle for a little dent in the girdle. Did you know diamonds have girdles? They do. Yeah, that's a ring around the, you know, the, you know, ask him at Moeller's. I remember being very surprised that there was a girdle there around the thing. Anyway, so stop on down. I don't know what the heck they were doing that the jewelry got hit, and I think Bobby's going to catch hell because he was messing around. And I think Mark was out of town, and I don't know what he was doing, but it's not bad stuff. You don't notice it from, like, if you're just, for instance, I'm out in right center field, and if you're in a box seat here, say, in the stands, from here, I'm not going to notice that. It's not going to bother me at all. I'm out at Midway, ladies and gentlemen, watching a ball game, and it's a glorious evening, and I'm supposed to do an ad right now, but I just can't focus. They're the jeweler you can depend on. Their trucks are all right here. What? We need to have an R.F. Moeller song. I feel a little bit of jealousy when I listen to these other ads and listen to the nice music beds. The Black Bear Casino music, God, that's good music. Or the guys who have the catchy lines, like that one fellow who says, lower than a hound dog's hiney on a hot summer day. I want lines like that in my ads. R.F. Moeller Jeweler, lower than a hound dog's, I got catchy lines like that. I don't have things like that for my ads. Bob Lang, I don't even have Bullet Bob Lang's voice. I don't even have Vic. Just to have someone say, great shot, Vic. You know, there's another couple of ads on today that have Vics in them. Vic is the most common name for KSDP. There's a hardware store ad. Do you have that hardware store ad that was played during the Jason Lewis show, Clyde? It's another Vic making an appearance. That's about the fifth Vic in a KSDP ad in the last 3 months. And yet, if you go to a maternity ward, you can't find a Vic. Very strange. You know what the promotion here is tonight? Halloween. That's odd. I just found out that's the big promotion. Halloween. It's Halloween night here. I know him. I'm getting to it. I'm getting to it. R.F. Moeller Jeweler. I stopped at R.F. Moeller Jeweler today. Yeah. Yeah, I always like walking in the front door because I get treated like crap there. They figure I'm not a customer. I'm not going to spend any serious money, and they don't want me to get a big head, so they generally rip me pretty good when I walk in the front door. And it's very abusive for a while. Unless there are a lot of customers, then they don't want the shouting across the room. And I threaten them always. I say, you guys keep that up. I'll let every customer know that you got a magic wall in the back room that spins around to expose a lot of brew. The old magic wall. You know, sometime if you're negotiating at R.F. Moeller Jeweler over a diamond purchase, just say, well, why don't we go back in that little room Mishki talks about with the little magic wall that turns around and exposes all that beer. Huh? How about if we do that? I think I'll think a little clearer over a cold one. You tell them that. Yeah, they don't want people to know about the little magic wall. I think that baby goes back to Prohibition. Someone was running a jewelry store there and hiding the hooch. I'm not saying it was a Moeller, although they have been in business for a hell of a lot of decades. What does this have to do with anything? I don't know. What a waste of time. Well, we're going to have to not take full payment for this one. We'll cut her in half for this one. Little hail damage in this ad, actually. Yeah, special deal for the Moellers. We won't charge full price for this ad. R.F. Moeller Jeweler, 50th in France and Edina, Ford Parkway in Cleveland and St. Paul.
Dave Dahl's KSTP forecast. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 60. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with some late thunderstorms and a high of 85. And Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 82. Currently, it's 73. Now back to the Mishki broadcast.
Get up in the morning, slaving for bread, sir, so that every mouth can be fed. Oh, me Israelites. Get up in the morning, slaving for bread, sir, so that every mouth can be fed.
Chaka una, chaka una, una.
Up on my kids, step up, up on a lady. Darling, she said I was yours to receive.
Oh, waka, chaka, chaka, waka, waka.
Shut them a tear up, choices ago. I don't want to end up like Bonnie and Clyde.
Look
after a song.
Mishki broadcast, AM 1500 KSTP, live from Midway Stadium here in glorious St. Paul on a fine Midwestern evening. Shadow Man back off the muddy ditches and Kevin standing by somewhere out there in the ether. Kevin.
Hey, Mishki.
Howdy.
Got a pretty good night going here.
Where are you?
I'm at the Aldrich Arena in Maplewood.
Is that indoors?
Yes.
Well, get your candy carcass outside, boy.
Well, you got to listen to my excuse.
Oh.
I'm down at the Beer Summit.
Beer Summit?
You see.
I do ads for Summit Beer, but I've never heard of a Beer Summit.
Well, it's sponsored by Summit.
I'm all for detente in that category.
They got about 150 beers out here to try.
Holy smokes, who's driving you tonight?
Well, I got a couple people here, and one of them's not drinking, so we got always a safe ride home.
There's an ad in the Yellow Page that says, hire an Elkie. It's a designated driver deal. It's through Alcoholics Anonymous. Most of those guys have screwed up a couple of jobs, you know, as they've gone through the disease of alcoholism, and they're unemployed, and one of the ways they try to get back working again is to hire themselves out as designated drivers, and there's a couple hire an Elkie operations, if you could get a hold of them. They're not terribly expensive. So 150 different beers, foreign and domestic?
Oh, I think they're all domestic, but they all...
150 different domestic beers?
Let's see here. You know what? We got some from Germany, so I guess we're foreign and domestic.
That's domestic in my family, but probably not for you.
I'm Irish, so...
Yeah, yeah. We didn't get you in World War II. Well, we will ultimately, though. I don't think the Irish actually fought in World War II, did they? I think they drank right through it and forgot the whole damn thing happened.
We fight every night.
Yeah, you guys fight every night. There was an old saying that went something along those lines: when the Germans drink, they sing; when the French drink, they make romance; when the British drink, they make speeches; when the Irish drink, they fight. And when, what was the other? Oh, I can't remember all the different nationalities. I used to have them all memorized. So, what's your favorite beer?
Well, I was pretty pleased with the, what the heck is it called? Armagnac Abbey Ale.
Armagnac Abbey Ale?
Comes in a great big bottle.
Hey, that isn't made in Oregon, is it? Check where that's made.
Cooperstown, New York.
Oh, it's Cooperstown?
Cooperstown, New York. There's a bunch of them from Oregon.
Oh, yeah, they ought to change Abbey to Abner, because that would be a Mr. Doubleday's contribution out that way. What there used to be an abbey in Oregon that makes some pretty good microbrew. It was a regular monastery. I forget what the hell it was.
Let's see. We've got Full Sail Brewing from Hood River, Oregon.
Full Sail Ale. I've had Full Sail Ale. It's pretty good. I've had that out there.
Let's see. They've got...
Do they have Bob's Bean and Bacon Brew? That was out of Buckman, Minnesota. Bob's Bean and Bacon Brew.
No, I think that's only available in Buckman.
It is.
Let's see. Portland, Oregon has the Portland Brewing Company.
So how's the turnout?
Well, not nearly as many as they had hoped for. This is a fundraiser for the Lupus Foundation. And I guess they need about...
Let me guess. They don't really give a damn about lupus, but they figured if they made it a fundraiser, they'd get more people to check out the beer. Are they really concerned about lupus?
I think that they're really concerned about lupus.
Are they? Okay, because my grandmother had lupus, and my aunt has lupus, and lupus primarily moves through the women in a family, doesn't it?
I think that women are at much higher risk for it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but they've got a lot less people than they really need to break even out here, and
lupus isn't going to benefit. No, people are going to get looped, but they ain't going to help out lupus. Help us get looped, lupus. You need a marketing genius to say lupus. You have a picture of some guy getting just tanked. allow us to loop you. I'll tell you something. Why don't you give the address, and we'll see how many people we can send that way, people who want to try 150 different beers. I'm sure Mothers Against Drunk Driving would just love me to send out a few more people in sport utility vehicles, and then after they could drive down White Bear Avenue and go after Luke, honk their horns at 74-year-old Luke.
How convenient. This is on White Bear Avenue.
Hey, Luke, stay out of the street tonight, buddy. Okay.
It's in the Aldrich Arena in Maplewood.
You already are screwing up, buddy. How many have you had?
Oh, about 47.
Holy buckets.
It's a good thing I got to drive a safe drive home, though.
Yeah, hire an Elkie. Well, so where is it?
Aldrich Arena in Maplewood, the hockey arena.
Okay.
And
boy, that's cruel. That's cruel. Make the guys drink and then walk across a skating rink?
Well,
that is cruel.
They haven't got any ice on the floor, thank goodness.
Oh, they don't? Okay.
No.
All right.
But there's probably about 150 beers out here to try. And
150 beers and about, what, 40 people drinking them?
There's probably 150 people here drinking them. They got... I don't know.
Was this advertised? I heard nothing about this. I read 5 newspapers a day. I never heard about this. I don't think the lupus people are going to be terribly happy about the marketing strategy here.
Well,
next time, call me. I'll take care of it.
Missy.
Yeah, anything involving beer, you should have called me. I could have had this thing promoted pro bono.
Hey, that's...
For one of each, brews, I could have helped out lupus next time, get in touch with me. But there you are, folks. If you want to go out there, Aldrich Arena, they're having a ball. How much to get in?
$15.
All right, $15. So that's
a lot cheaper than 2 or 3 drinks at the beer.
Sure.
Or at the bar.
Yeah. I bet there aren't a lot of women there, though.
Actually, I think there's about equal women to men.
Oh, they are. Okay, well, all right, very good then. I usually expect women to be more into those wine get-togethers or vodka get-togethers or things like that. You don't see women putting down a lot of beer ordinarily.
Well...
All right, Kevin, we did our best. Good luck to you.
Thanks, man.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Mishki live at the Shack, Midway Stadium. Back after this, AM 1500 KSTP. Bony black bear. Black, black bear. Da, da, she's a black bear. bear. She's a black bear. See what these people get? See what they get for their ads? That was beautiful. Did they say they were giving away an atom bomb? They were giving away some... What was that about? You can win a fat boy or little man or whatever the hell they said. Fat man or little boy. What were the names of the atom bombs? One was little fat boy, little man, little big man, big little boy, fat little fat kid, fat chubby, little runt. What were the names of the atom bombs? And who named the atom bombs? And why are they giving them away at Black Bear Casino? You know where? What a thing to give away. Win a free atom bomb. Mishki here. You know that already. You know who I am. We just left a little while ago, and now we're back. I never moved. You realize that? It's kind of like, who figured that out? Was it Copernicus? And the whole, is the earth moving and the sun moving deal? We never actually go away. And we never come back. So when we say, that we're back, we don't go anywhere. We're not revolving. You're revolving. You understand? So we didn't go away. I'm here. I don't move. Hi. Mishki for Fabulous Ferns, which, interestingly enough, is located up the hill from a coffee shop called Copernicus. Do I got my guy right? Copernicus figured out something in the solar system. I can't remember. Anyway, Fabulous Ferns is located 4 blocks west of the St. Paul Cathedral on Selby Avenue. So I often say you should go for the fine food, stay for the fine people, and find it 4 blocks from the St. Paul Cathedral. I did that. That's how I first discovered Ferns. I went there because I was told they had some really good food and that it was reasonable, and I could go there 2 times for every 1 time I went somewhere else. And that the portions were large and the quality of the food was consistent throughout. And they had this wonderful chef, Mark, who was dedicated to coming up with all these great concoctions and thought nothing but cooking day and night. Even when he was at home, sometimes he'd come up with new ideas and run into work and try them out. And they just have a glorious menu. But the people there are the reason I ended up staying. I got to know them all. They became friends of mine, and they're all good people. And they stick around forever. They got people there. Oh, the manager, Dawn, she was there the day they opened their door. She's still there years later. And they have waitresses that have been there since the beginning. And they just say they like it. It's a very easy, laid-back, comfortable place. Not a lot of pressure. And they just feel like they've become kind of part of the family there. And any place that feels that comfortable that you can walk into and it can feel that easy going, that's my kind of place. I don't like going out to be that much different than slipping into a overstuffed chair in my living room. And Ferns is kind of like my porch. Fabulous Ferns. 4 blocks west of the St. Paul Cathedral. Come for the fine food, stay for the fine people. Hi. Hi, everybody. I'm T.T. Mishki. And speaking of booze, someone was drinking pretty heavily when they gave me my own show. Actually, we got a story involving alcohol right here, St. Cloud, Minnesota. Late-night drinkers won't be able to get that two-for-one special at city bars anymore. What reason is there left to live in St. Cloud? The city council unanimously approved an ordinance Monday ending two-for-one and three-for-one drink offers between 9 p.m. and 1 a.m. Council members also barred any special during those hours that increases the volume of drinks without increasing the price. So now people who live in St. Cloud have to walk out into that evening air relatively sober, facing the fact that they live in this strip mall haven without aid of a stiff drink to ease the pain. Expect a mass exodus either this way or to Fargo. Ladies and gentlemen, in the next hour we're going to have a Larry King column. And it's been a while since we've had a Larry King column, but he has some precious stuff to pass along, and we love our Larry, so we'll deliver Larry. Look at me, I'm that Larry King guy, look at me. Oh, and does he throw in a shameless plug in this one. Just shameless what he does. Also talk a little bit about youthful cynicism. Americans age 15 to 29 are shunning politics but doing more volunteer work. A new study finds that young people just hate politics, distrust everything about it. But they're apparently doing volunteer work more than ever before. And I have no problem with that trend whatsoever.
More trouble with the Russian space program. We got news of where the first man emerged to walk the Earth, and it wasn't Africa, which we used to claim was the cradle of all mankind. No, we're going to have to look a little east. They're claiming China was where man first walked the Earth, making us all a little bit Chinese. I thought I was a little bit African, but I'm a little bit Chinese. All a little bit Chinese. So it's going to be harder to make fun of that country now, knowing that that's where my ancestors are from. And Jimmy Carter, president back in the 1970s, is going to get his head chiseled into a cliff in Israel. We got all that and more in the next hour. Mishki here live from Midway Stadium, where we're moving into my favorite time of the night, when the stadium lights are needed, and yet outside the stadium, it's still light out, and the trains are rumbling by, and there's a pink sky behind big-time Minneapolis. KSTP, good old St. Paul, and big-time Minneapolis. Back after ABC News. Stick around, folks.
Dark, muddy ditches of Highway 61, home of the broadcast outcast, we return to your radio road hazard, the Mishki Broadcast, transmitting live from AM 1500 KSTP.
Spilled all over myself. What the hell's going on here? You know, when you get a little break here at Midway, it's a long haul to get yourself a libation, and when you run back with it and it's heavily carbonated and you open it, you get wet.
The toilet. Brother Larry comes to me with those written words of wisdom. Look at me. Hey, look at me. Look at me. Hey, everybody. Look at me. I'm that Larry King guy. Look at me.
Michael Lunan and the Loony Bin Band, live from Mental Health 7. Larry's column this week, how about books for Dad for the big Father's Day celebration? Two come to my mind. I'm Larry King. One involves me. I'm not kidding you, folks. Larry's recommendations for Father's Day. How about books? Two come to my mind. One involves me. I'm one of the subjects in Rich Cohen's Tough Jews, published by Simon & Schuster, which once received two raves in the same week in the New York Times. This is a terrific read, if I do say so myself. That's because Rich is the son of my best friend. Oh, Larry. Larry, Larry, Larry. Any more shameless self-promotion, or is that it for this column? Man, oh man, may I recommend as a book for Father's Day the book Tough Jews, featuring me, Larry King, a tough Jew. That's right, people say my column stinks, and I say tough. I told my son I'd help his pal pitch the book if he'd make me a tough Jew. I demanded to be placed ahead of Moshe Dayan, but was willing to go right after Sandy Koufax. I'm proud to be in their company, having... Well, I haven't done very little in comparison to those gentlemen, actually. But I'm Larry King, and I'm one tough Jew. The book says so. That's how I know. So buy it and read about me. If you don't like the price, that's tough. I have to pay a lot of ex-wives, so go to hell. That's how you talk when you're one tough Jew. All right, Larry. And Hayes tells me they're about to start site selection for the remake of Psycho, the Alfred Hitchcock thriller that originally starred Janet Leigh. And says there will be some surprises, but that exact shower scene will remain. Well, thanks, Larry. In terms of, in terms of suspense, I think you can forget any. For this scene, Larry just spilled the beans. Shower curtain is pulled, the knife comes out, and playing the Tony Perkins role as the psycho killer, Pat Robertson of the 700 Club, who says he relishes the chance to, shish kebab a lesbian. Again, Anne Heche in the role of Janet Leigh, and Pat's going to do her in. Oh, let's see what we got here. Where's my deal on China? Carefully unlocking a cabinet. Huang Wanbo. Yeah, let me start in a different spot. I made a mistake there, starting in the middle of the story. In the backbiting world of paleontology, scientists have fought over a lot of controversial ideas, but they usually agree on one point. Humans evolved in Africa, migrated to the rest of the world. Now, led by Huang, scientists in symbol-hungry China are challenging this certainty with a theory of their own. The ascent of man began in China, they say. The ascent of man began in China. We're all Chinese. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The first man to walk the earth was Chinese. I don't know who the second one was, but you got to figure he was Asian, too. And, yeah, the first argument you can... You can imagine what happened, Shadow Man. I'm afraid so. Yeah. All right, fellas. Thank you, fellas. Carefully unlocking a cabinet, Huang Wanbo, that's Dr. Huang to you, pulls out a tiny jewelry box holding a 2-million-year-old molar. That's right, a molar. Not one of the brothers. This is out of the mouth. Cradling the tooth in his hand, the paleontologist closes his eyes and imagines a time millions of years ago when wild animals roamed freely. When the Yangtze River was a stream, an early man walked the land, not just any land. They walked in China. These are the finds that will cause the world to accept our theories, says Dr. Huang, caressing the tooth that may have belonged to one of man's ancestors and gesturing to the boxes full of bones. Man originated here, Huang says, in China, not Africa. Such claims hardly shock most Chinese. Chinese propaganda apparatus regularly churns out reports on how China was first in everything, from use of knives and forks to tulip cultivation, golf. That's right, Chinese claim they invented golf. Oh, it wasn't the Scots. But Dr. Huang's molar and other recent archaeological finds lend legitimacy to China's claim on this evolutionary theory, attracting cautious foreign converts, spurring the government to launch China's biggest ever paleontological research program in hopes of finding the final proof needed to rewrite the world's history books. They're going to rewrite the history books. Yeah, that's great. Rewriting the history books. Here we go again. Little wrench thrown in the works. Doesn't that suddenly bring the well-oiled and nicely turning world of paleontology to a grinding halt? We're not all black people. We're all actually Chinese. I always wondered why Chinese restaurants fared so much better with white customers than soul food joints did. Now it makes sense to me why so many of us like wind chimes and fireworks. We're really ultimately Chinese, and that's why we gave up so quickly in the Korean War. The Chinese came over, the line there, remember that? They came over, they stormed over unexpectedly. And we didn't have the heart to kill our own, so we settled for our first Thai as a nation, just to avoid taking out our Chinese brethren. And the Chinese were aiding the North Vietnamese in that war, causing us to completely throw in the towel and settle for our first loss in Vietnam. And then Nixon felt so doggone bad about both skirmishes that he went over there and opened the West to the good folks of this nation and went to the Great Wall with his wife Pat and had a toast with their leaders, saying, hey, brother, put the noodles on and let's have a party. And they did, the Nixons and the Chinese. They got absolutely soused over there. And now every matchbox car that we have on the living room floor of my home says Made in China on the underbelly. God bless all China, our home sweet home. God bless old China, our home sweet home. From the Yangtze. All right, what do we have here? Hang on a second. When I was drumming there, my lamp went out on me. And it's dark in here. Come on. No, it doesn't work. Come on. There you go. Thank you. They're going to rewrite the history books, the Chinese are. I hate when people rewrite history books. You know how many times in my life alone people have had to go back and rewrite history books? I'm tired of it. You end up having to read the suckers 5, 6, 7 times before you can say you have the straight scoop, because they keep changing them. They keep rewriting them. We have regular book burnings in my home. Did you know that? Yeah. Regular book burnings. As soon as we find out they're rewriting history, we take the old history books and we burn them. Once a month, it seems, these days, we're having a book burning in the Mishki household. This one's no good anymore, honey. Turns out Oswald did not act alone. Burn it. This one's obsolete too, dear. Catch. Yeah, I guess the Indians weren't all murdering savages who needed to be removed for civilized society to continue. Burn that one too. This one's no good anymore either, dear. I guess LBJ did know all along the Vietnam War was a futile waste of time, but just didn't have the guts to pull us out of there. Oh, and this one about FDR being a faithful husband, we got to burn that one. They're rewriting history there. Oh, and torch this one, too. I guess J. Edgar Hoover wasn't the most upstanding moral leader and defender of truth, justice, and the American way after all. We'll have to burn that. They're rewriting history on him. Save the cover photo, though. Yeah, the one of him with the dress on it. Yeah. And George Washington never chopped down a cherry tree, and half the quotes attributed to Abe Lincoln were uttered by someone else, and Marconi didn't invent the radio. No, Marconi did not invent the radio after all. No. The radio was invented by an American. That's right. It says right here in the new encyclopedia, an immigrant who came to America and became a U.S. citizen gave us radio. It's an American invention. Oh, and it looks like a Bruno Richard Hauptmann did not kidnap the Lindbergh baby after all. He was railroaded. Burn that old book. How's that fire going? Getting a little hot in here, honey. And now the Chinese are rewriting history, too, so burn all the old books on paleontology. We're going to need a bigger fire pit. By the way, it turns out George Bush was in the loop on the diversion of funds to the Contras. Oh, and here's a picture of Hillary Clinton removing Vince Foster's body from the White House. So that's being rewritten. The Hillside Strangler was innocent. They got the wrong guy. Turns out the serial killing spree there was brought to us by none other than Orenthal James Simpson. And the Chicago fire wasn't started by Mrs. O'Leary's cow after all. It was a relative of the George Halas family. That hurts. That hurts. The same book says Mayor Richard Daley was actually the guy behind the Kent State killings. He was
apparently disguised in one of those National Guard outfits. Jimmy Hoffa is buried in the tomb of the unknown soldier. Elvis is alive. Cher actually pushed Sonny Bono into that tree. The disease AIDS did not come from Africa. Jerry Falwell invented it in his basement laboratory. And the Pope is Jewish, and bears actually go to the bathroom sitting on toilets. God, it's getting hot in here. Really warm. This is Mischke live at the Shack, Midway Stadium, St. Paul, Minnesota. Our number here, 646-8255-646-TALK, or long distance, 1-800-962-0792. You got AM 1500 KSTP on, and we'll be back. Mischke here for Gateway Cycling, formerly Maplewood Schwinn Cycling and Fitness. I don't know what the whole fitness thing was about. I mean, it's just assumed if you sell bicycles, the people who buy them and ride them are going to help themselves stay fit. Maybe they were selling stationary bikes or something like that. They don't get you anywhere. Stationary bikes won't get you anywhere. I bet at some time in history you could have brought some people to 1990 whatever and shown them someone on a stationary bike and got them laughing pretty hard. Does that fella know he's not going anywhere? No, he doesn't. No, he thinks he's on his way to the grocery store. Oh, little baddie, huh? Oh, he's nuts. Look at him there. And then they have these deals now where as you pedal, the fan creates wind. So you actually think you are going to the grocery store. What a con. Anyway, I'm glad they got out of that racket. Now it's just Gateway Cycling. Maplewood Schwinn Cycling and Fitness. They still sell Schwinn. I mean, they're a Schwinn dealer. And Schwinn, ladies and gentlemen, several years ago, had dropped from its peak when I was a kid of being number one in the nation to number 14. 14! Schwinn! Grew up with them. They shot back up in the last few years to number two. Number two bicycle manufacturer in the nation now and on their way to number one. So they got that line, and they have all sorts of different lines. I mean, the GT, the Marins, the Bianchi, the Bianca Jagger. Have you seen the Bianca Jagger? She put her name on a bike. The Jagger, I forget what the hell it's called. They got all sorts of fancy bikes now. I wanted to buy a tandem bike when I was there because that looked neat. Ever since I was a kid, I thought, you know, I'm going to get myself a tandem bike. And I said, I think I want to buy that, and my wife and I can, you know, bike around together. You know, the guy said, do the two of you work well together? I said, we don't work together. You don't do any little projects together, things like that? I said, no. Well, if you guys don't work well together, then you don't want to be buying a tandem bike. Tandem bikes are for couples who handle projects together comfortably, easily, cooperatively. If you don't know for a fact that you work well with your wife, then you should not be buying a tandem. See, they're damn near psychologists out there. They understand women, they understand relationships, and they understand how that gets translated into the bicycle. Gateway Cycling. They're at, where the hell are they? Oakdale, which is Century and Highway 36. Right there, you'll see them. You'll see them just off the highway, right on the border of Oakdale and North St. Paul. Take me out to the ball game.
Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, for it's root, root, root for the home team. Don't win, it's a shame, for it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game. Ding, 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 ding.
Seventh inning stretch here. Seventh inning stretch. Game's moving along nicely. Anyway, I think I did my ad, and the damn song came along, and I always have to sing that here. Sorry to interrupt things there. I will get back to the program then. All right.
Dave Dahl's KSTP forecast. Tomorrow, partly sunny, some late storms, and a high of 85. And for Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 82. Currently at 68. Now back to the Mischke broadcast.
Bye. you, woman. I wish to God, man, that you could be mine.
Shabba.
You talking about you, woman. I wish to God that you could be mine.
What you look like?
Every time the little girl starts to love me, she bring eyesight to the blind. Thought her daddy must been a millionaire. Cause I can tell by the way she walks. Cause I can tell by the way she walks. Every time she starts to loving, she deep and dumb begin to talk.
Quite a gal. Quite a gal. Mishki here, AM 1500 KSTP. You want to hang on to a woman who, when you married her, you were blind, and then the first time, you know, on your honeymoon that you got romantic, all of a sudden you started to see. You're going to be a little more tied to a woman like that than you are, you know, just any old gal, and you're going to be less likely to get divorced because you don't want to go blind again. And you know how you'd go blind once you got divorced, don't you? I think you do. That's been established in medical history. Okay, what do we have here? Former President Jimmy Carter will soon have his image chiseled into a cliff in Israel's Negev desert. Son of a gun. Son of a gun. The Israelis plan to erect a monument to Carter. Oh, for his part in the peace agreement between Israel and Egypt. Jimmy's getting his head chiseled into a cliff in the desert out there. Rosalind Carter, Jimmy's wife, will pay Amy Carter, Jimmy's daughter, $5 an hour to stand at Mount Rushmore and direct people to Israel's Negev desert. There Amy will be, shouting, "Hey, there's one more president you didn't see yet. Hold on, folks. You've only seen the big four. Don't forget number five, located just an ocean away in Israel. Yes, indeedy, that's my daddy. Yes, indeedy, that's my daddy." And no view of the great leaders of this nation would be complete without a quick peek at his chiseled features in the Negev desert. So go see my papa. I'm telling you, it's sphinx-like. Yeah, take a look. It's sphinx-like. The Nagash brothers, Nakash, are apparently the brains and bucks behind the Jordache Jeans Company and the brains and bucks behind this monument. At least that's what it says here. The Jordache Jeans Company putting up the money for Jimmy's big old noggin. Remember the Jordache Company? You've got the look, I want to know better. You've got the look, Mr. Jimmy Carter. Working, playing, day or night. Jimmy has that look, that's right. The Jordache look. Jimmy will be more than a chiseled head in this cliff. They'll slap a pair of designer jeans on him. That's not the kind of jeans they wear generally in Plains, Georgia. So to make him look more authentic, they'll wrap a tool belt around him and feature him working in a kibbutz. Boy, this thing's going to be twice as big as the Crazy Horse Monument. George Bush says he'd sure appreciate something like that himself. Maybe in the cliffs of Kuwait. Nixon's kids are trying to get Dick chiseled into a cliff in China. And LBJ's widow, Lady Bird, says maybe she could get one chiseled in a cliff in North Vietnam. They say he did more to lift their spirits there than Jane Fonda. Okay. U.S. drinking itself dry. Dry as a bone, I tell you. The country's dehydrated. Did you know that, folks? Americans may be literally drinking themselves into a state of dehydration. While Americans drink an average of 8 cups of water and other hydrating beverages each day, they counter the positive effects by drinking 5 servings of caffeinated or alcoholic beverages, which dehydrate the body. The result is a dehydrated nation. The problem is that alcohol and caffeine are diuretics. substances that cause a person to urinate more, resulting in a net loss of water. Lack of knowledge is not the problem here, folks. Most people say they are aware that experts recommend drinking 8 glasses of water a day, and that some beverages, like coffee, were dehydrating. The reasons for not keeping well hydrated vary from not having enough time, Americans say, to not liking the taste of water. Not having enough time to not liking the taste of water. You don't have enough time. I'm too busy to drink water. What's happened to us, people? What's happened to us? I've heard of us now being too busy to cook, thus bringing the boom in restaurants. I know we don't spend enough time with our kids, thus creating a society of resentful, angry adolescents. I know we're too busy to take weekends off, and we're working longer hours than ever as a nation. But I honestly did not believe we would ever become too damn busy to grab a drink of water. We're bordering, you realize, on being too busy to live. You know that? Yeah. I am a man with so much to give, oh Lord, but I am just too busy to live. I thought I could have a life on this earth, but I've been just too damn busy since the day of my birth. And now the Grim Reaper has me on his list, for I no longer even have the time to exist. But I better croak soon, let me tell you all why. Because I'm even getting too damn busy to die. That's one reason given for folks failing to drink water. Too damn busy. I'm too busy. Water bill? Nope, too busy. The other reason here, I don't like the taste of water. What? I can honestly say, folks, I've never met a person who didn't like the taste of water. This is the equivalent of saying, I don't care for breathing air. Never have really cared for breathing air. Everybody here seems to like breathing air, but I have never much cared for the air that's out there. I tried to stop breathing because air wasn't for me. Now I'm tied to a gurney in the infirmary. They say I have to breathe or I am going to die. Well, I just didn't like it once I gave it a try. It's so much work breathing out, breathing in. You say I have. No, we're not going to go there. We're not going to do that one. Nope. Nope. Oh, all of a sudden I put the internal edit on, which I don't do often. Often the id runs this show, but every now and then the old superego, the parent, takes over. And that happened right there. Sounded good earlier, and just right there it was, nope, nope, nope. So what else don't you people have time for besides water? Imaginally taking what feels right. I hate food, water, clothing, shelter, and sunlight. Can't stand them all, I am too busy. Officer accused of shooting squeegee man in the Bronx. I thought he shot him in the back. He got him in the Bronx. A New York City police officer was charged yesterday with the off-duty shooting of a squeegee man in the Bronx. He was removed from patrol duty earlier this year because he had accumulated an unusually high number of complaints of using excessive force, all usually against squeegee men. Guy has something against squeegee men. I don't know. Shoots him. I wouldn't go near this cop with a squeegee. Well, cop comes in to get gas. Place clears. No one wants to be around him when the squeegees are out. Guy's obsessed. Squeegee! Everybody down! Put that freaking squeegee down, boy! Put it down! I don't want to see that around here anymore. Back in the bucket. Put it back in the bucket. Put it back. Put the squeegee back in the bucket. Take that bucket, lower it to the ground, put the bucket on the ground. Now get down. Get down and pick up that dirt and put it back on those windows. Put the dirt on the windows you've just cleaned. Do it now, squeegee man. Oh, I know all about your kind. everyone to use paper towels, always pressing the rubber firmly against the glass, squeezing mercilessly, pulling all the water away from the glass in a cold, calculating manner, leaving a window naked. No dirt, no dust, no grime, not even a trace of water. Wiped clean, no evidence. No evidence that you were even there. But I caught you red-handed today. You people have been getting away with this far too long. It's time you got your comeuppance, and I'm just the one to give it to you. Squeegee man!
What is a squeegee man? Squeegee, are those guys that when you're at a stoplight run out and start washing your window, and then if you don't give them money or something, they shoot you? There's some weird deal like that in New York. What a headache to deal with every day. I'm glad we haven't seen that trend here. I mean, just carjack me. Don't go through the whole window. That's humiliating. You know, washing the window, making people feel guilty if they don't give money, worried that if they don't give money, they'll be robbed. Just rob me. I understand robbery. You know, if a guy comes up to me tonight, puts a gun to my head and says, give me all your money, I get that. I understand exactly. There's no, why are you doing this? Whoop. You know, I know why he's doing it. I get it. It's very simple. It's expedient, and you know it's wrong, but you know, the guy's weighing everything and deciding that, you know, in the short term anyway, what the hell? I'll take my chances. Little get rich quick scheme. I understand all little get rich quick schemes, but the laborious process of coming up with this whole squeegee and bucket deal in New York is just it's. You know, we can all be more upfront with each other, I guess is what I'm saying. We don't have to play that game. Americans age 15 to 29 are shunning politics but doing more volunteer work. A Princeton survey shows that 37% volunteered time the last year. 37% of Americans between 15 and 29 did volunteer work. Only 2% participated in an organization that was focused on elections or political activity. Political participation is at a record low in the United States right now. Community volunteer work is at a record high. How's that one for you, folks? Paul Light of the Pew Charitable Trust, which released the survey, said young people just hate politics. They distrust everything about it. So there you go. A little bit of news during this Republican get-together at the Target Center. You young people just keep that attitude. You're right on the mark. It's a dirty little business that, unfortunately, someone has to do. But by no means do you have to approve, and your lack of approval may one day change things. So just keep telling those in power you're about as pleased with their efforts as you are with Pol Pot's legacy. And in the meantime, if you work in the private sector helping the less fortunate, you're going to be a better person for it. And it goes without saying that those you help will be better off. In politics, you rarely win. In helping others, you really can't lose. Nothing wrong with young people. I think they're right on track. Their motto should be, throw the needy a hand and politics in the can. Help the needy avoid the greedy, because life in D.C. gets awfully seedy. Don't wait for help from the far East Coast. Right here is where you can help the most. Volunteer, give your time, and don't pay politics any mind. I'm convinced more than ever that the way to change the world is outside of public policy, outside of politics, outside of D.C. Simply go out and do it, folks. Don't wait for a job as an elected official. They brag about what they've done while doing little. Volunteers aren't heard from much at all, and they're out there changing the world. You want things better in your neighborhood? Get off your duff, make it better yourself. Because help ain't coming. Not anytime soon. Not without going through a bureaucratic maze so complicated it'd wear out the strongest will. So give it up, hang up the phone, bag the letter-writing campaign, do it yourself. Life's too short. Just get up, do it, take care of the problem. Mishki here at the Shack, Midway Stadium. AM 1500 KSTP. We'll be back after this. Yeah, well, there's a T.D. Mishki special going on over at Summit Brewing Company. Buy a six-pack of Summit and, you know, you get looped. It's the old Mishki special. If you drink the six-pack, then thrown in the deal is It's an opportunity to feel no pain. It's a Mishki special. Summit Brewing Company is offering it. Alcohol has been around a long time, folks. Long time. You know, about 1500 B.C. in Mesopotamia, somebody invented beer. Some genius. I wouldn't have been able to come up with that. I would have been pretty much just drinking water, not knowing what else you could do in the way of drinks. Some guy came up with beer. Fermentation was a way at the time, you know, to stay alive, to keep food. That's how you kept it from going bad. You fermented it, and that's what they did to stay alive. And I, in 1998, still look at beer as a kind of a way to stay alive, at least alive in the sense of enjoying life and living. When I finish with a show out here at the shack, I walk out of the papal balcony here overlooking this green cathedral, and I open a Summit, sit down and watch the end of the ball game, sip my drink and say to myself, there has to be a God. I don't know what the hell those atheists are talking about. There has to be a God. What, this thing could come out of a world godless? No, I know for a fact. And if Summit's brought me closer to the Lord, then you ought to try it yourself. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care what denomination, what church you're affiliated with. Summit crosses all boundaries, all barriers, brings people together. You know, you sit a Catholic, a Jew, an agnostic, a Hindu, a Muslim. You know, you sit them down in a bar and you buy them around a Summit. I mean, they may each get a different Summit. One may go for the Northern Porter, one the Pale Ale, one the Winter Ale, one the India Ale. Someone might go for a Maybach. Someone else go for a Hefeweizen. But you still will be able to get them all drinking Summit. They may argue a bit over which one's better, you know, but they're all Summit products. Oh, it'll get a little testy from time to time. You're going to have that when you have different walks of life, all together in one room, people with different backgrounds. Sure, there's going to be some fisticuffs. You're going to have some people hitting each other. I don't think that's the end of the world, as long as it doesn't get real nasty. Oh, guy brings a gun, gun could go off, someone could get shot. You could have a war, you could have a world war in a sense that everybody represents a different part of the world, and just a small little skirmish right there in a bar, but could take out a lot of people and pretty much destroy the bar, and city council have to pull a liquor license. That's going to happen. But it still can be called a situation where people were brought together and brought together because of beer. So don't knock it. Try it. Summit Brewing Company, St. Paul, Minnesota.
Dave Dahl's KSTP forecast. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, some late storms, a high of 85. And Sunday, partly cloudy and a high of 82. Currently it's 66. Now back to the Mishki broadcast.
I went down to Eli to get my pistol out of bar. When I got back home, my woman had gone. Yeah, gonna murder my bed. Ooh, that she don't stop cheating and lying. Thinking about what I'm waiting on.
Mishki
broadcast, AM 1500 KSTP. Shadow Man back at the station off the muddy ditches of 61. Clyde Lewis, technical director, studio engineer, production wizard here at the broadcast. I'm out here buried inside the right center field wall, Midway Stadium in St. Paul. And I learned this week about a North Minneapolis project. Community members on the north side came up with an ingenious plan to shut down prostitution. They have shaming sessions now. By agreeing to a session where he can be shamed, a suspect can avoid being charged with a crime. A guy who tried to pick up a hooker gets arrested. He gets brought before these women. And they were all pictured in the paper, a whole bunch of women. And they're from the community there on the north side, and they shame him. And they sit around and shame him. And it's hoped that as he is shamed, standing there handcuffed before them, ridiculed, that he will not solicit prostitution or try to find a hooker or offer a cop $15. You think some of these guys might actually know they're dealing with a cop, but just say to themselves, what the heck, she's good looking, I'll give it a try. And out come the guns, and the guys are in the slammer. But to avoid the slammer, hell, to avoid being charged, they just get shamed. Now, it's a neat deal. One of the first customers came from the North Minneapolis neighborhood. He was barely out of sight of his wife and kids, who lived about a block away from the corner where he tried to solicit sex. The 37-year-old man walked up and allegedly offered the decoy officer $10 for sex, which was insulting. Police took the man to the 4th Precinct after he chose to appear before the shaming panel rather than be charged with lurking with intent to commit prostitution. That's a misdemeanor, punishable by about 90 days in jail, maybe a fine of $700. The man spoke fluent English to the decoy officer and others, but he acted as though he couldn't understand English when he was in front of the 7 community council members. A pudgy man, he wore shorts, a black ball cap, cocked sideways, and a puzzled expression, and handcuffs. He was Asian. The questions began with block leader Perry asking him whether he would like it if someone had tried to solicit his wife or daughter in their own neighborhood. The man said, I know good English. I know understand. An officer interjected that the man had spoken good English 15 minutes earlier and that he now appeared to be playing games. The volunteers agreed, and police hauled the man to jail. The next man, a 27-year-old from Edina wearing a grass-stained softball uniform, appeared cocky, showed no remorse. He said he had given little thought to the possibility that he could contract the AIDS virus or any other disease from a prostitute and then pass it on to his girlfriend, or that he could be robbed and assaulted. No. One guy, when confronted, asked the women questioning him what they were doing later that night. He was hauled away as well. Another, when asked whether he has a moral fiber in his body, said just the one he had planned to show the hooker. And so it went, the old shaming party. Another told the women there, she without sin cast the first stone. Oh, good one. Then, boom, from around the corner, some nun nailed him with a pretty serious piece of granite right to the temple. It was an interesting little experiment, the old community shaming party. Personally, my feeling is, if you're going to get real serious about this shame thing, make the fellas wear streetwalker outfits and mascara and parade around Minneapolis. See how it feels, huh? See how it feels when Eddie Murphy pulls up looking for a little action. They'll say to him, but I'm a man, really, Eddie. And Eddie will say, I know, no problem. That's how you put a rugged taste in their mouth for the street life. You have Eddie eye you up and down for a few minutes, and man, pretty soon you'll be heading for a monastery. Believe you me, huh? Shame. What's your name? 6 satellites launched by Russia have strayed into the wrong orbit. The 6, reportedly designed for the intelligence branch of the Russian Defense Ministry, which is hurting intelligence-wise, were launched simultaneously. Some were reported to be having trouble finding their orbits.
All six had gone astray. They just went astray. The error caused by an incorrect command. So there's another few $1 billion down the drain as the inept Russian space program stumbles merrily on. In the spirit of the space station Mir, another bungled project for Russia. If we can count on the same kind of futility in their nuclear program, folks, we can officially remove Russia from the list of nations to worry about right now. Shift gears to India. With their nuclear program now in full swing, that would be a good idea anyway. Of course, to thwart an attack from India, all you really need to do is make sure everyone in America buys a little pet cow and keeps it prominently displayed in the front yard. Guernseys all around, one for everybody. On the old chicken in every pot deal, cow in every yard. No, they won't dare bomb us. And the Pakistanis, well, you just add a statue of Muhammad or maybe a jungle gym for the kids designed to look like a mosque. There are ways to prevent any nation from attacking. It gets really quite simple. For the Mexicans, you just need to have a photo of Mom on the lawn. Canadians need to see an ice rink. In the summer, that'll melt, so shift to a half barrel of Molson or something like that. Think about it. Why do people attack others? Because they don't like them. How do you get someone to like you? By liking what they like. Would Democrats hate Republicans if Republicans embraced socialism? No. Would Republicans hate Democrats if Democrats became Nazis? No. See? Would Muslims hate Jews if Jews prayed at Mecca? Would Northern Ireland Protestants hate the Catholics if the Catholics waved the Union Jack saying, "Long live the Anglican Church"? Like what your enemy likes, and your enemy will like you. Now, the Germans in World War II said, if the British just like what we're doing, we'll leave them alone. We have no quarrel with them. Hitler had great respect for the British Empire. He just said, please, in return, leave us alone. Now, despite the fact that Churchill could have avoided nightly bombing raids by liking what Hitler liked, he decided he didn't like what Hitler liked, and thus the bombing came. After years of the Cold War, America suddenly fell in love with the Soviet leader, Mikhail Gorbachev. We absolutely fell in love with him, and in so doing began to feel less like we had an enemy in the Soviet Union and more like we had a new international figure to love. Barney, I like you, you like me. I guess you're no longer my enemy. I'll put away my bombs. I'll buy you a drink. Glad you think the way I think, you know. Defuse the bomb, put away the gun. It's diplomacy 101. You don't go to war with your very best pal. You know, you can call me Betty. I can call you Al. That whole thing. Why the hell aren't I Secretary of State, huh? Yeah, we got to get out of here. I got a summit waiting for me on the Papal balcony overlooking right center field. A ball game to watch, and I'm sure you guys got things you got to do, too. None as fun as that, but go get your own radio show. Mischke Broadcast, AM 1500 KSTP, good old St. Paul, big time Minneapolis. You folks have yourself a fine weekend. And after you've had some fun tonight, sleep well. Good night.